Good morning. We're glad that you've joined us on the Let the Bible Speak program. This morning, I want to talk about knowledge is power. That expression, knowledge is power, is commonly attributed to Sir Francis Bacon going back to the year 1597. It's the idea that when we know things, the more we know, the more we are in control of a particular situation. Knowledge is power. And the knowledge of God's Word gives us the power to be free from some things. I remember as a child going with my father, he would go to buy a used car. And you would step onto the used car lot and the used car salesman would come out. And if there was a car you wanted to buy, my father would be dickering with this man, going back and forth, making deals and so forth. And back in the day, the used car salesman used to pull out a little book out of his pocket, the NADA, N-A-D-A. The book that was published that would give prices of used vehicles and what they were worth, their value and so forth. He was the only one with that book. He wouldn't show that book to everybody. He had the knowledge of what a particular vehicle cost. And the consumer coming in on the lot, they didn't have that knowledge. And so he had the upper hand. Knowledge is power. And so you don't know how much a car is worth. You don't know how much money they have in that car. You don't know how much they're willing to come down and if it's a good price or not, or if it's overpriced to start with. You're a little at a disadvantage. But the person that has the knowledge, the exact knowledge of things, they are more in control. Today, all that's changed. Used car prices are all over the internet. In fact, the last used vehicle that I bought, when I went to the lot, I had already checked three online sources for that particular vehicle. The age, the mileage, the model. You can go to NADA.com or Edmunds.com or KellyBlueBook.com and you can get price values. That way, you're educated and you're more in control when you go to negotiate a particular price. Knowledge is power. And I want us to consider, friends, this morning, the importance of the knowledge of God's Word and the power that it will bring us in our lives. Jesus said in a well-known statement in John chapter 8 and verse 32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The truth shall make you free. The truth that he is talking about there is his word. And we need to have that word in us. In John chapter 8, the verse right before, Jesus therefore said to those Jews that had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, then you are truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Jesus' words will free us. We're going to look this morning on the program at four things that knowledge or truth will free us from. But we have to have that attitude of wanting to know truth. And the truth that I'm talking about this morning is the truth of God's Word. Do you really want that in your life, friend? Let me encourage you to have that truth in your life. Sometimes people say, "Well, my mind is made up. I'm satisfied in my religion. I'm satisfied with my current level of knowledge. Don't bother me." Have you ever heard that expression, "My mind is made up. Don't confuse me with the facts"? And some people are like that. Another expression we have is, "Ignorance is bliss." It's really not. Ignorance can hurt us. Ignorance can get us into trouble. Ignorance can cause us even bodily harm. I've been injured in the past with tools and other things like that because I didn't fully understand what I was doing. Ignorance binds and blinds. Ignorance will bind us in a particular relationship that we don't need to be in, and it will blind us to the truth. In the very next chapter, in John chapter 9 and verse 39, when Jesus heals the blind man at the end of that story, Jesus said, "For judgment came I into this world, that they that see not may see, and they that see may become blind." They that see not. In two different ways, he healed the blind. He healed the physically blind, and he healed the spiritually blind to get them to see the light of truth. The devil wants us to be blinded to truth and knowledge. He doesn't want us to know the truth of the gospel. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, "In whom the God," small g, the devil, "of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should not dawn upon them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Seeing it is God that said," and this goes back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, "Light shall shine out of darkness. Let there be light. Light shall shine out of darkness, who shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." The devil wants us to be blinded. He wants you to be blinded. We want you to be knowledgeable, and that knowledge will give you power. Ignorance binds and blinds. I want us to consider this morning on the program the power of knowledge and truth. We're going to look at four areas of our life. Number one, knowledge or truth frees us from ignorance. Number two, from prejudice. Number three, from the doctrines of men. And number four, from sin. Knowledge is power. And you have at your disposal a Bible. Bibles are very easy to come by. If you don't have a Bible and I can help you get one, let me know. Call the program. We'd be glad to hear from you. Let us know. Leave your information. Contact the church. Come by and visit us. We can easily get you a Bible. We'd love to meet you, sit down and talk with you about your spiritual relationship with God. But we have at our disposal a book that is full of knowledge that is very powerful and full of truth that will free us. Number one, the truth will free you from ignorance. Ignorance abounds everywhere. Do you know that there's still some people that believe the earth is flat? We still have a flat earth society. Even after the trips to the moon, where the astronauts took pictures back at the earth and showed it to be a beautiful sphere or globe or circle out in space. What a beautiful picture that was. And yet, we still have people that are members of a flat earth society. They believe the earth is flat. We have people that believe different things, and it's based upon ignorance. The Gentile world in the New Testament was ignorant of the truth about God and Jesus Christ, for example. And when the gospel went into all the world, it dispelled that ignorance. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 17, Ephesians 4, 17. "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you no longer walk as the Gentiles also walk in the vanity of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their hearts, who, being past feeling, gave themselves up to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." Ignorant of the truth. 1 Peter 1:14 through 17 tells us the same type of thing. And ignorance leads to wrongdoing. Notice in this text that we just read that they were ignorant. And then it says they gave themselves up to lasciviousness. So our ideas, lack of knowledge, lack of truth, leads us into immoral practices. And so it's not just an innocent thing to be ignorant. When we're ignorant, it promotes wrongdoing. You remember the Jews crucified Jesus out of ignorance, Acts 3:17. And Paul, Saul of Tarsus, before he became the Apostle Paul, did many terrible things out of ignorance, 1 Timothy 1:13, where he had Christians put in prison and killed. That's a serious thing. But he did it ignorantly in unbelief, he said. We don't want to remain in ignorance. We're talking about things that will hurt us and damage us spiritually for all eternity. So number one, truth frees us from ignorance. It's powerful enough to do that. Not only does ignorance promote wrongdoing, but it promotes false worship. When Paul came to Athens in Acts 17:23, he said that they were worshiping in ignorance. They had a lot of idols, but the one true God was unknown to them. And he preached a sermon there about the one true God, and they could no longer claim ignorance. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 23, "For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship in ignorance, this I set forth unto you." Ignorance promotes wrongdoing. Ignorance promotes false worship. In Romans chapter 10, verses 2 and 3, the Jews were ignorant of God's righteousness, and they wished to establish their own. They were living under the old law when they needed to be coming to Jesus Christ. And Paul says, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law unto righteousness to everyone that believes. When they would not come to Christ, they were ignorant of God's righteousness that's found through Jesus Christ. Ignorance also promotes false teaching. We don't know the truth on something, and so we're telling people things, we're preaching things that aren't true. And so we need the truth of God's word to dispel ignorance. In 2 Peter, if you'll turn with me there, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. Speaking of these false teachers, these are creatures without reason, born mere animals to be taken and destroyed, railing in matters whereof they are ignorant, shall in their destroying surely be destroyed. Railing in matters that they are ignorant. What's interesting about false teachers, many of them are very confident of what they're teaching, and it's false. They're outspoken, they're loud, they're confident, they're boisterous, but the content of what they're saying is false. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16, Peter warns against the ignorant and the unsteadfast twist the scriptures. And so we have to be careful about that. And so the darkness of ignorance is dispelled by the light of truth, knowing God's word and God's will. Do not be ignorant, but understand what the will of the Lord is, Ephesians 5:17. There were different times when Paul wrote in his epistles, "Brethren, I would not have you ignorant." I would not have you ignorant. 1 Corinthians 12:1, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. I don't want you to stay in that ignorant relationship. I want you to know the truth. So number one, ignorance frees us from ignorance. Number two, truth frees us from ignorance. Number two, truth frees us from prejudice. Often ignorance leads to prejudice. I think about the racial prejudice in this country in the 1950s and 1960s. The Ku Klux Klan racial prejudice. And what was interesting about that was that many of them preached that as if it were biblical. They would quote Bible verses to back up their prejudicial hatred against African Americans. It was just ignorance. And so the adults, through ignorance, would teach their children to hate and be prejudiced and try to back it up with Bible verses that were misused. And so now we have prejudice. And it keeps, not only is there prejudice between people, but prejudice will keep an individual from coming to Jesus Christ. There were individuals in the New Testament time, as there are today, who won't come to Jesus Christ because they have their minds already made up about him one way or the other. That they don't need him, or that they can't get any help from him, or he's not going to do them any good. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? John chapter 1 and verse 46, Nathanael said to Philip, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip said, "Come and see." And the blind man's parents in John 9, 22 and 34, and other Jews, John 11, 42 and 43, they would believe in Jesus, but they wouldn't confess him. They didn't want to be cast out of the synagogue. They loved their friends more than they loved Jesus. Prejudice needs to be removed. And one way that it can be removed is the truth of God's word. When our minds are opened to accept truth. Peter had to learn to open his mind to accept the truth. He was a Jew, that Gentiles need to be saved too. And so he was given a vision in Acts chapter 10. And he was told to go preach to Cornelius, a Roman centurion, a Gentile. And his mind had to be opened to that truth. It will dispel prejudice. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, Paul had just preached in Thessalonica, and some of the Jews there don't like him, and they run him out of town, and he goes on to Berea. And when he's preaching in Berea, Luke records Acts 17:11 that the people there were more noble than the Thessalonians. Why were they more noble? Why did they have a better character? The text says they received the word with all readiness of mind, examining the scriptures daily whether these things were so. Many of them therefore believed. The belief was based upon the examination of God's word. But that examination of the scriptures daily was what caused these Jews in Thessalonica to be more noble than those, in Berea than those in Thessalonica. It's because it dispels prejudice. An open mind, an open Bible, an open schedule will remove prejudice and ignorance. You see, knowledge is power. Power over ignorance, power over prejudice. But we also find that knowledge and truth frees us from the doctrines of men, number three. Often ignorance leads to prejudice, and prejudice leads to false doctrines of men. You think about hundreds of religious groups today that exist, and they've all got their different teachings, their different doctrines, their different creed books. And they're all separated, they're all divided. There is some commonality in some of them, but there's much division. And when people, religious people especially, preach false doctrines of men, they mislead other people and they keep them from coming to the truth. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 52, in a series of woes against the religious leaders of the day, Jesus says, "Woe unto you, lawyers." Now don't get in your mind a modern day lawyer in a courtroom. These are scribes and Pharisees who study the law of Moses and teach the law of Moses. "You lawyers, you took away the key of knowledge. You entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in you hindered." You took away the key of knowledge. They did that by teaching error, doctrines of men, traditions of men, keeping people away from the actual wording of the law of Moses. What does Moses actually teach? Not what people say about what Moses teaches. They took away the key of knowledge. False doctrine and error and human tradition leads to false worship. And so Jesus rebukes the same type of people in Matthew 15 and verse 9. And they were worshiping God in vain because of their human traditions. "In vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrines the precepts of men." So it's just a domino effect. And it causes more and more problems. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 22, the Apostle Paul warns against human philosophy that takes people away from the truth. We need to be very careful about what we're reading. It's very discouraging today when you see many people, they will read what the scholars say, the religious scholars, but they won't open up their Bible and read their Bible. They'll buy the latest religious book on Amazon, but they won't read their Bible. And so human philosophy is despoiling people and taking them away from truth. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, "Take heed lest there shall be in any one of you maketh spoil of you through his philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Later in verse 22, he talks about all which things are to perish with the using after the precepts and doctrines of men. Back in verse 18, "Let no man rob you." People are being robbed of a true life in Christ because of man-made traditions and human philosophies. We have everything we need in Jesus Christ, and that's how Paul begins this chapter. Verse 3, "In Jesus are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge hidden." The little word "all" is used throughout the book of Colossians to show that Jesus is our all-sufficient Savior. And that includes his words and wisdom. All-sufficient. We don't need human philosophy. And yet that abounds today. And people read more of what man says than what Jesus says. So, truth comes along in the pages of the New Testament. It's always there, hadn't gone anywhere, and frees us from the doctrines of men. Any man-made doctrine not found in the New Testament gospel of truth must be rejected. All truth is in the New Testament. Jesus is the way to God, John 14, verse 6. God's word is truth, John 17, 17. And we need to stay away from man-made doctrines. The doctrines and commandments of men will be rejected when we want to truly follow the truth. We're not going to be tossed to and fro by every wind and doctrine of error. Paul uses that in Ephesians chapter 4. We're not going to be tossed to and fro. We're not going to be confused, carried about with every wind were doctrine by the sleight of men and the craftiness of the wiles of error, but speaking truth in love. Will you allow yourself to be freed today? And then last of all, truth will free us from sin itself. Sin binds and enslaves. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. All have sinned, Romans 3:23. And when we sin, the devil is our master. And we need to be transformed out of that power of darkness, Colossians 1:13, into God's kingdom. When we are in sin, Satan has a hold on us, and we need to come out of that servitude. The gospel frees us from sin, Romans 6:22, Romans 8, verse 2. Paul talks about, for freedom has Christ set us free, Galatians 5, 1 and 13. We're free. And when we come to a knowledge of the truth, God would have all men come to a knowledge of the truth, 2 Timothy 2:4. When we come to that knowledge of the truth, it's liberating. Tells us how to get out of that sin. The shackles of sin will be broken by the liberty of truth. It's called the perfect law of liberty, the New Testament, James 1:25, James 2:12. The perfect law of liberty, freeing us from the shackles of sin. When we obey the gospel, when we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, repenting of our sins, being baptized for the remission of our sins, Acts 2:38, confessing Him before others, Romans 10:9 and 10, living faithfully thereafter. That knowledge right there will free us if we will obey it. Will you take the knowledge of the truth and free yourself? Free yourself from ignorance. Ignorance is not bliss. If you'll be reading your Bible, if we can sit down and study it together, the more you read, the less ignorant you'll be. Number two, that truth will free you from prejudice. Maybe you've got your mind made up against this or that. My mind's made up against baptism. My mind is made up against the Church of Christ. My mind is made up against this or made up against that. But just reading your New Testament will free you from that prejudice. It'll free you from the doctrines of men. If you have been in a religion before and you've been taught many things by man, just let Jesus teach you what you need to do to become a Christian or to be saved or to be how to worship. Follow the words of Jesus and be freed from that sin. You have to really want truth. You have to obey truth. And just think what you could accomplish, friend. Just think what you could change. Knowledge is power. And if we can help you to sit down and have that knowledge today, please contact us. Thank you for being with us this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program.